I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Caroline, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio.
Tools for transformation.
Excuse me.
Right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming to you November 1st and 2nd at the Monterey Fairgrounds, as well as the owner-operator of Radio Monterey. And our guests this evening include the Reverend Charlotte Tinker, as well as Howard Strauss. But before we talk with our guest this evening, Kirilani will share with us the energy of the week, the month, and the year in her Go With The Flow.
Well, thanks, Solazar. And here we are in the magical month of September. And every year, it's a month that brings us that opening of limitless potential, of magic and miracles. It is a wild card where anything can happen. And yet, that energy of limitlessness benefits from our focus, from our direction. And that focus and direction comes from the thoughts we think, the feelings we have, where we put our time, the choices we make. So it's a really important month for us to be focused and diligent about how we spend our time, because it's rich in the heart of the manifesting portion of the year. And here is a year that's all about self-truth. It's about self-truth and the liberation of our heart and mind by opening up and embracing our spirit. So it is a year to release ourselves from all those limitations, all those conditions that are keeping our heart closed, that are keeping our mind playing out the same old patterns over and over and over and over again. And aren't we tired of those? So this is the time to say, if our heart and our mind are willing to partner with our spirit, to open up to experience more bliss, more love, more compassion, more peace of mind than we've ever experienced before. Doesn't that sound kind of good? So here we are in the emotional week of the month, and that's always going to be about, what are those excuses you're still using to keep your heart closed? What is it going to take to open up a little bit more, to greet each person as someone who's a potential friend, who's a potential ally, to realize that all those illusions of separation were just that, illusions, that the divine never left us, that our angels and masters who love us completely have never left us, that our soul who loves us completely has never left us. What's it going to take? Because if we live our life from that place, it's such a different starting point, such a different experience. And next year is this year that's completely devoted to self-love. And if we can do the most with the last few months of this year about self-truth, to realize the real truth of who we are, that we are these magnificent beings, that we really, this whole story that has woven through all of our existence around worthiness and are we good enough and all that, that it was all a big setup to just be able to transform that, to realize that we are one with the divine. And of course we are worthy. And of course we have gifts to share. And this is our time to be willing to share those gifts with the world, to realize that we are these powerful beings of transformation, these powerful alchemists. And to get those tools out of our bag and realize that it's no longer time to sit on the sidelines and criticize what's happening on the field. It's time to go out there and be willing to see the things in the world that we think should be different and be willing to act in the direction of those changes. In the manifesting cycle of the year, action is an imperative. It is time to just simply start putting where our passions and our desires are. Just do little things in that direction every day. To know that those tools of transformation are at our disposal in every minute. And some of the old tools just don't work anymore. And be willing to allow the divine in your soul to teach you new ways of being in this time of limitlessness. To realize that there's whole new, easier, more blissful ways of coming together in collaboration in this millennium that's all about relationships and partnership, that things that used to be really hard don't have to be hard anymore, that our lives can be filled with so much more grace and so much more fun than we could ever imagine. So in this month of September, if you want to work with the vibrational tools aligned to that sense of limitlessness and truth, work with the colors of blue, any shade of blue. So even if you're outside looking at the sky, think of the vast limitlessness of the sky or of the ocean, and just breathe that limitlessness into every cell. Breathe it into your heart, opening your heart with every breath a little bit more. And if you want to align with that truth of your heart will always share its wisdom and share its truth. Visualize the color of purple or magenta and just breathe that color into your heart and ask it for its wisdom and truth. So we have a couple of great, really powerful days as we go through this week. Actually, today is one of those that reminds us that we are a seed of God. We are that bridge between heaven and earth. That's what our physical vehicle actually is. And as we acknowledge that we are a bridge of light and illumination, of love and truth, that bridge is strengthened. And it's a special type of bridge tonight. It's one that is a portal of that limitless potential and possibilities. So before you use up the whole night, spend a little time just diving into that sea of grace and allow yourself to feel at one with all. And whatever it is that you feel may be holding yourself back, this is a time to say, hey, I'm willing to try again. Whatever it is, I'm willing to try. And as we go through the week, we've got some really powerful days going through Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday into Friday of what we call portal steps that ask you, what type of Christ do you want to be in this world? What type of cosmic consciousness do you want to express? Is it the type that is laden with sacrifice, or is it the type that is based in that love and light and truth? And that leads you to Friday, which is this anchoring of that Christ consciousness in physical form. It's that anchoring of the ultimate truth of who you are to fully realize what your potential is for this life and to commit fully to living life at that level. So that gives Solazar some of the go with the flow. And I was assuming that you are going to talk a little bit about the full moon coming up.
Well, since you went through the trouble of looking up all that information, I'm going to give just a little bit, and I'm going to defer so that you can add in all your great wisdom. Because did you get your information?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Well, remember, it's a full moon in Pisces, and it comes up on the 8th. And remember, Pisceans are the sensitives of the zodiac. They tend to be much more sensitive. I can say in my Aryan lifetime, I have probably had more challenges with Pisces that were poorly aspected, but have run across many who have been positively aspected, and somebody's going to say, oh, you're judging, and I'm going to say, yes, I am.
Not complaining.
Yeah, that's right. But the full moon in Pisces is a great opportunity for expansion and expression. Of our artistic sensitivities and our appreciation of the beauty around us. And it's a good time to redecorate and redesign our surroundings so they serve that sensitive nature. And that is something that we can look for. Now, every full moon is really an opportunity for implementation. So think of that. Where in your life have you been wanting to expand, to shift, to beautify, to sensitize? Where in your life have you wanted to do that? And this is really the opportunity to start executing on that. Now, as Kira mentioned, this too is the month of magic and miracles. So this is a month of creating possibilities, limitless possibilities out of what exists out there. So use this full moon, if you haven't already started to, as your stepping off point for your execution of limitless possibilities in this month of magic and miracles. And Kira, did you want to add anything to whole dialogue and diatribe?
Well, just a couple. So one thing is that this full moon, you said it's in Pisces, is the third supermoon in a row. So that means the moon is going to be very close. So watch it when it's first coming up, because it's huge and it's so beautiful. And this is the moon, the first harvest moon. So there's...
And one thing I do want to mention is, I believe, and it could be wrong, and is that it's not going to be as big as August, but it still will be a big moon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, it's in Pisces, so this is a sign of water. Also aspected in that moon is the energy of Cancer and the energy of Scorpio. So you have all these signs that are water signs. And water, that used to be emotions and now is spirit, is helping with that transformational process. So expect a lot of emotional stuff coming up. This is culmination of that emotional week to say, hey, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to let any of those things, any of those old woundings, because Chiron is accented again, and Solazar has talked about Chiron's influence this year. And the Chiron is that wounded healer. So whatever our childhood wounds are, those are coming up to say, okay, here we are in this month of limitlessness. Can we open up and allow ourselves to just feel the love of the divine, the love of our soul, and allow it to soothe and smooth those old wounds?
Yeah. Chiron actually went retrograde on June 20th, and it stays in retrograde until November 23rd. And as Kira mentioned, it is the wounded healer, and it is bringing up all those wounds. So as we've gone through some of these astrological shifts through the summer, and even now, got to tell you, I'm wounded. I'm wounded and stuff. And some, there are days I revel in my wounds. You know, I'm still working through my need to be a victim sometimes, because I cherish my victimhood so much that I don't even want to put Band-Aids on my boo-boos. But that being said, is that if you're in a state like that, if you are as conflicted about whether you're a volunteer or a victim, if you're going through traumas, which you said, you know, back when I was five, I have to admit, I'm going to tell on her. And my sister, just as recently as last December, is still talking about the time I totaled her car when I was 16. Now, there's a whole long story involved with that, is that she asked me if I wanted to drive. I was under the influence of many substances, I will say that. And to me, it just sounded like a lark, hit an ice patch, hit a telephone pole, which kept us from tumbling about 50 feet down into the thruway, which was probably a good thing. So I
Legion of Angels.
So I actually think the telephone pole was actually a good thing to aim for, personally. You know, That being said, she still carries a conflict over that. It's kind of like my feeling is, get over it. You know, it wasn't a plan. It wasn't a plot. It just is what it was. And I ended up having to buy most of her car out of my savings bonds. All that being said is, what are you carrying back from when you were 16, from when you were 5, or from last week, or your need to just be victimized? We were just recently talking about Mother Teresa and how she acted in her service out of a lack of self-worth. Where's your lack of self-worth? Where are your wounds? And if you're not taking the time now during this retrograde to examine that within you, then all you're really saying is, I'm willing to carry that baggage forward for the rest of my life.
At a limitless level. And most of those things, you know, for most of us, that's just too heavy to carry anymore. It's time to lighten that load. And in this Pisces full moon, it gives you this opportunity because Pisces, at its highest level, gives us this sense of purity and wholeness and completion and balance. And so somewhere in that day, invite and welcome that aspect of Pisces. Allow that moon to help heal your emotional body and bring it completely into balance to know any of this illusion of separation and loneliness or feeling that you're on this planet and you don't belong. Let that all go and just allow your soul to embrace you.
Well, that's an awful lot for one full moon.
So, I'll take it all.
So that's it. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to the Reverend Charlotte Tinker. We're going to be resurfacing the challenge that she gave us at the beginning of August, which, I dropped the ball on. I personally dropped the ball. I will admit that. But that doesn't mean it's too late, because you can still do it again, and you can do it again, and you can do it again. But she's going to share some insights with us and maybe even introduce us a little bit to Kuan Yin. So we'll be back right after this commercial break.
The Chinese government's online policy. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is Science Update. How do governments prevent the internet from challenging their power? In the journal Science, Harvard researcher Gary King describes work in which he and his colleagues created social networking sites in China, posted a huge variety of messages, and then analyzed how the government there censored them.
And we found that the Chinese government has no problem with criticism. You can say the most vile things about the leaders and their policies.
On the other hand, if you post messages about organizing a protest or rally, they're taken down immediately.
In fact, if you say that the leaders of this town are doing such a great job, what we should really do is go have a rally in their favor, that will also be censored.
In short, criticism is tolerated, but messages to organize crowds of any sort are quashed as soon as they're detected. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.
Live from Radio Monterey on California's beautiful Central Coast, this is the Ringside Boxing Show. I'm your host, Dennis Taylor, inviting you to join me and my expert analysts, Travis Hartman, Rizwan Zahid, and John J. Responte every Sunday at ringsideboxingshow.com for the hottest, sweatiest boxing show on the West Coast. And don't forget to download TuneIn, our free app, so you can listen to us every Sunday on your smartphone. The Ringside Boxing Show.
With Diamond Alignment, you can experience all the benefits of meditation online in just 6 minutes. Try it once and change your day. Try it every day and change your life.
The diamond energy of joy and equanimity will emanate from you today. Watch the world change around you and have a diamond day.
Good vibration.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio
on Radio Monterey.
Well, and this is Solazar, and, you know, as I promised a couple of weeks ago, I'm just going to repeat the mantra of men. Ladies, when a man says he's going to do something, he will. You don't need to remind him every 6 months or so. So I will get that Radio Monterey and that whole comeback fixed on that little segment there as we reintroduce ourselves back into Radio Monterey. But in this period of the show, we want to reintroduce you to someone who joined us on the 9th of August, or actually the 2nd of August. It was Reverend Charlotte Tinker, the channel for Kuan Yin. And at that time, she shared her journey about how she ended up with her spiritual practice, her study, and also shared with us a 28-day mantra. It was a practice that we thought was perfect for August, where you write 10 times, 3 times a day, "Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever." And the Reverend Tinker has come back to share with us some stories of the impacts from those people who participated in the exercise. So welcome once again to Good Vibrations Radio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. This has been a very exciting month, and I want to say thank you to everyone who participated in this exercise. It was not only designed for each person on a personal basis, but from what my teachers say, from Kuan Yin says, is that everything that we do in our lives personally is now also being replicated on the universal mind level. So those of you and me too, because I did this as well, who struggled through this and wondered at it, have done a major service in their lives for the world in which we're living in to help make these same changes in vibration and in observation and in perception, not only for ourselves and our personal lives, but for those who we come into contact with, and even beyond that in the energetic fields, which we are all surrounded with in the universes, actually, not just the Earth. So thank you all very much. They found it comforting. They recognized that things in their lives began to shift slightly, so they began to look at the occurrences that were happening in their lives. And I'm really glad that happened for a lot of people. The things I think that were the most valuable, however, were the two or three people that wrote me and said this was just hell, if we can say that on the radio. Mm-hmm. They struggled with this exercise mightily. They found themselves being angry and frustrated and resentful. And I have a friend who said, you know, she did her 3 times a day, 10 times. And the whole time she did it, she felt like she was being punished for the whole 28 days. And she resented every minute of it. And it came back and she hated everything, and her mind's going on and chewing on all of this while she's writing this out, you know. And she called me up at the end of the 28 days and said, "Nothing's better. Everything is worse." And I said, "Good. So you need to do this 28 days again." And she fell apart, literally collapsed and fell apart. And I said to her, "You know, your anger doesn't help anything, and we need to get that under control before anything can change." And I told her, I said, "You know, you can write it or not write it. I want you to start saying it out loud. So start saying it in the face of these things that are happening to you in your life that are so difficult." And within a half an hour, it all shifted for her. And so she's now doing the next 28 days, doing it verbally, out loud, and in her mind. And she repeats this mantra 15 or 20 times every time something comes up. And she's beginning to be able to actually survive the disruption, a major, major disruption in her life right now. So I want to say that for those of you who had a hard time with it, that's really great. And hang in there with it. Begin to add it on verbally. It doesn't matter to me if you scream and yell in the back of your mind and have temper tantrums. I did that for 6 months when I first did this. It doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't disrupt it. It doesn't take away the power of it. Eventually, you get over the temper tantrum, and now you can begin to see some clarity in your lives about how to move forward in spite of what it looks like.
Well, and I realized for me that when I first started it, it was that sense of peace and that sense of just it felt so good. And then I started feeling a little guilty because I felt like, well, I know we're in this life to transform things. And so if I'm accepting everything around me, is that letting myself off the hook for looking at what needs to transform and taking action? Does it become this tool of complacency?
Right.
And so I struggled with that for a couple of weeks. And then I realized, okay, well, maybe there's a more productive way of doing that role now. Instead of being, like we talked in the Go With The Flow, of being the critic up in the grandstands with mm-hmm. the clipboard, criticizing and judging everything, and going, oh, and I don't like that, and I don't like that, and complaining about it all, to say, okay, yes, there are things that could be improved, and acknowledging that on a conscious level, and then say, and what can we do productive in the moment to help shift that in some way without putting all of our life force into the complaining about it?
Right. This is a question that came up during this month as well. And I thought a lot about it before I made an answer, because it's an important question about what's the difference between recognizing something that's wrong and then complaining. So when we complain about something, all of our energy goes into the complaint, right? And my history, my background says that where you put your energy is what you grow stronger. Mm-hmm. So if you're complaining about something that you have judged is wrong, you're just making that wrongness stronger. And it puts you on the end of being the victim of it, which means now, even if you felt like you wanted to do something to shift it, you can't, because it's out there and you're a victim of it because you're complaining about it. When you stop complaining about it, it somehow opens a space so that you can begin to discern what's really going on. And from the quietness of your meditation, when you're in a state of discernment, there comes floating up out of the center of you the correct kind of action to take to make a shift in what is not working well or serving us well, that does not come up out of the old behavior patterns and therefore does not feed what it is that's not working. If you make an action out of the old patterns that still have that emotional charge on them, all you're doing now is feeding the thing that you're trying to change, because you're struggling with it. You've judged it to be wrong. You've got this emotional content going for it. So any action you take on that is actually feeding the very thing that you want to change. And one of the things that this mantra does is it kind of bypasses that part. It puts you in a state where eventually you get worn out of being, you know, angry about it or judgmental about it or upset about it or emotional about it. It allows you to come into a clearer space where there's a calmness there. It also does healing in your own patterned beliefs without you noticing it too much, actually, until it comes up. And that allows you a better opportunity to actually say, oh, so this much I can actually do. And in the process, the activity that you're actually doing, when you're making the change in that energy for yourself, it automatically begins to change the energy about what it is that triggered it for you. You don't even have to do anything about it.
So I want to let folks know, if they want to call in and ask a question or participate in the discussion, that they can call 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-5792. 5792. And I actually have a question.
Okay, cool.
Because, as I said, I like to revel in my victimhood.
Go for it.
this is my struggle, which ends up very often with me sometimes, often will end up with me playing the victim card, and I see myself doing it. I mean, mm-hmm. In other words, I'm up here watching it. You're going at it.
Right.
You're doing it. But sometimes, for instance, I struggle with the unsaid explanation sometimes. So we have this dialogue and we've discussed something, and I walk away feeling unsatisfied with that dialogue. And then that dialogue, you know, here's what I wish I had said this, or I wish I had explained this, or I wish I'd gone through this. And that becomes the thing eating on me. And then it leads to the victimhood, or it leads to, for instance, as I did today, I probably spent, you know, 5 hours working on one email of just the way to say what I was trying to say. And the end result is still, I'm sure I upset somebody at the other end. As a matter of fact, I got several emails from him. I'll read them some other time. But I'm sure I upset him at the other end. But it's because of the unsaid things that are eating at me. So this mantra would certainly help, because this yes. mantra would say, I really have no complaint
right.
to say back to this person, because I'm in judgment, I'm in complaining mode, I'm in victim mode, and they work so well together. They're like the Three Stooges.
They do. They actually do.
Yeah. And so I think had I had the presence of mind, which would not have taken very much, I just needed a mind to have presence with, to actually have said that, the mantra, it actually would have helped work through the eating process, because it replaces the eating process
yes.
with the feeding process.
Yes.
And the feeding is non-judgment.
It's nurturing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Nurturing is non-judgment when we get the trick of it, actually. When we're nurturing from soul self instead of from the ego self. So, and that makes a big difference. And yes, of course, if you were asking me personally about this habit of always going into victimhood and judgment, I would tell you to do a Ho'oponopono instead.
Yes.
Because really, the healing for that is about self-forgiveness. And this particular mantra that we did is actually kind of like the beginning step of moving into there. Most people have a hard time with a Ho'oponopono. And so this is kind of a beginning step. And it's an easier one. And it's sneakier, because it works without you having to deal, you know, with I love you. You know, I don't have to say that. You know, I'm sorry for hanging on to these old behavior patterns. You don't have to say that either. Please forgive me for hanging on to these old behavior patterns. You don't say that either. So you end up to thank you. So you start right out with the gratitude thing, was thank you for everything. And then we tag on the kicker.
Yeah, I have no complaints whatsoever.
So it's kind of like going in the back door, and it's a preparation, actually, for the deeper work that we're all of us now being faced with. We're just all being faced with that all the time.
And again, for this month, and Carrie, I know, I apologize, it looked like you were going to say something, but for this month, we want to encourage everybody. I'm going to actually start on this process again.
Good.
I started last time. I just was not a good finisher. It was not a good follow-througher. And I did start last time.
So right now, you get to say, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Thank you. Because what you do is what you do. And how we stay clear of the victim, of self-victimizing ourselves, is to stop going back and saying what you should have done and running that over and over and over and over and over in your mind. Because now all you're doing is you're increasing the power of not doing it, instead of saying, oh, this is what I did, and as much as I did was as good for as what it was, and let it go.
And I think there is a caveat. I'm going to caveat myself, because I'm actually, because you've probably never seen me in my true victimhood, because it's glorious.
Well, you know, I think if you're going to do something, you should do it absolutely perfectly well, full blood out, and enjoy it thoroughly. And it doesn't matter what it is.
But really what I was saying is, I know I didn't follow through. I did start. I didn't follow through. It was really factual, more than in that case, I wasn't really victimhooding myself. But I have, thank you for everything, because I have no complaints whatsoever.
Right.
So
right.
I want to continue that. And I like, you've started twice. I'm going to be quiet. But I like the fact of the lady who said she's doing it verbally now. And I'm going to go with the verbal, because that it wasn't an angry thing with me.
Right.
But I found myself not at the moment of consciousness, not having the time or the wherewithal
right.
to do the writing.
Well, in the next 28 days, if you're going to continue with this and make this a bigger part of your life, a tool that you can use for the rest of your life, now you move on from the writing it down. Now you move on to saying it in the face of the events. So when you're stuck in traffic and you're chewing on your, because I, you know, want to be there and 5 minutes earlier than I'm going to get there because I'm stuck in traffic, you stop and you take a breath and you say, oh, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. And you do 3 or 4 minutes of that, right? And isn't that a blessing that you're sitting in traffic and you can actually do that without running your car into a pole? you know. So when
this is cool because that was what I started experiencing.
Yeah.
Even when I was doing it in the first week, I would find myself in the middle of the day if there was some event that came up that may have been seen as a challenge, I was like, thank you for everything.
Right.
You know, to invite myself to see it as an opportunity.
Yeah.
To say, okay, thank you for everything. And I started adding things to the mantra of thank you for everything. Everything is perfect. I trust that everything is perfect, right?
Yeah.
And when I did that, then whatever the situations were flowed much more smoothly.
Yeah. They do. It shifts the energy. That's what this exercise is about shifting the energy. My friend, who's struggling so hard called me today and she's saying, thank you for everything. I have no regrets whatsoever.
Mm. Ah, nice.
And for her, this is an incredible shift on it and is very, very powerful for her. And one I'd like to pass on because it's, can be very powerful for a lot of us because a lot of us get sunk into our regrets. And when we do that, we never get past that. That's something that never goes.
Yeah,
it never goes past that. And it's time to get out of that. It's time to move forward and be here today and be who you are, whatever that is. You know, just for, because it's only today. I mean, tomorrow it'll be different. In an hour from now, it'll be different. You know, you're only who you are in this moment. So you might as well be who you are in this moment and not worry about whether it's tomorrow or from yesterday or whatever, because you don't have any control over those. You only know about this moment.
And for me, it is about a kind of opening to trust.
Yes.
That our soul and the divine have this, like, wonderful plan and blissful life planned for us if we could get out of our own way.
Yes. Absolutely. This opens the door and allows the universe to provide for you everything it's been hanging on, waiting for you to have an open enough space for it to bring.
I don't know. I think the getting out of our own way is probably that most preeminent issue, that we are always in our own way when we are experiencing something emotional. We tend to, that's I think when the ego clearly gets engaged. I once, not long ago, as a matter of fact, it was last year, I was talking at a group up north and I mentioned something about it was humility and sincerity. No, it was integrity. And I mentioned how humility was about us accepting ourselves where we are, that we can only learn at the rate we can learn, we can only do at the pace we can do, and accept ourselves for doing and learning at the rate or pace of where we mm-hmm. are. And that also allowed us to accept others where they are mm-hmm. at that moment. And I also spoke about integrity, that no one can really tell us if we have integrity. But it's the old issue of, you know, at 2 in the morning when it's too late to call anyone on this coast and still too early to call anyone on the East Coast, we can look inside ourselves in that quiet moment mm-hmm. and we can find out if we're operating from a place of integrity, which is operating from a place of the highest good for ourselves and others, or if we're operating from a place of ego. And someone came up to me afterwards and was really concerned. I won't say upset, but concerned about this idea of how I had used the ego. And I explained to them that the ego, because when I even go into my victimhood issue, it's my ego. And mm-hmm. I know it's my ego. It's my self-centered self-interest, which is not about survival. It's about self-appearance.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how I'm projecting an image and how I want that image projected back to me.
Right.
It's not even about who I truly am. And I know that. And when I tried to explain that to that gentleman, he was very, very concerned that the ego was such a very good thing for us to have. And I agree that the ego is a good thing for us to mm-hmm. have, but it's not a good thing to drive our train with.
Yeah, Kuan Yin tells us oftentimes that that when we identify ourselves by our, she calls it the persona or the persona ego, when we identify ourselves with the mask, which the persona ego is, we get off track. We need to identify ourselves with our soul selves because that's who we truly are. But she does not agree with the idea that you should become egoless. She believes that the ego is the tool that we use that gives us an interface with the world outside of ourselves, and we need to have a strong ego which is in service of our soul self.
Oh, I love that explanation of the ego, because a lot of times it is vilified.
Yeah.
So this is acknowledging that it has a positive role.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just training it to work in
to do its job instead of think it's the king. You know, our ego thinks it owns us, and we have to go in alignment with it, whatever that is. That's the persona ego, that we identify ourselves as the mask that we grow in order to have an interface with the rest of the world. We believe that the mask is us, and the mask is not us. We are soul self. And so when we re-identify ourselves with soul self, now the ego can become a very strong, very powerful tool for serving our soul self. And that in turn is what serves the world. You know, there's an old saying about God doesn't want, God likes the rebels, right? Because of the strength of them. And when you're a rebel and you're in rebellion and you've been fighting against God forever and ever, and all of a sudden you turn a corner and go the other direction, now you're an incredibly beautiful, strong tool to be used in the service of spirit. You know, and it's kind of like that, I think, is what she talks about. So, you know, I mean, who wants a namby-pamby person working on your side? You know, what we want is somebody who knows what they're doing and is willing to stand up to it, you know, and say, oh, this is what we're doing, you know.
Yeah. Well, does Kuan Yin have any suggestions for how we can get out of our own way? Because that does seem to be what is tripping a lot of folks up.
So if you want to ask her, I need to take a couple of minutes and we need to change places. Do you want to do that? And then
do
you have a break? And I can switch places and she can come back after the break. That would work out well because it'll take me a couple of minutes to get switched over.
Sure.
Yes.
We'll do that. We'll go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll be able to communicate with Kuan Yin. This is Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani, our special guest, Reverend Charlotte Tinker, right here on Radio Monterey.
Blame it on bottled water or changing tastes, but in the U.S., sales of milk have slumped to their lowest level in decades. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and in a moment, I'll talk about why Americans are drinking far less milk.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Chocolate chip cookies and bowls of cereal must be feeling lonely because milk consumption in America has slumped to an all-time low, with more than half of adults no longer drinking it at all. Last year, total milk beverage sales were about 6 billion gallons, the lowest since 1984, far behind soda, bottled water, and beer. So what's going on? Consumer tastes have changed. Energy drinks and bottled teas have arrived, and the public is afraid of the antibiotics and synthetic hormones used on cows. But don't worry, milk lovers, there is some good news. Organic milk sales are up 20%, even while regular milk sales fell. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Everyone is searching for the perfect gift. Is it at the sale across town or maybe at the store that opens at 5 a.m.? No. When you give from the heart, the answer is simple. The perfect gift, a life-saving blood donation, costs nothing. And by donating blood with the American Red Cross, you give someone in need the most precious gift of all, life itself. So as you flip through circulars and scan websites, take a moment to log on to redcrossblood.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Make an appointment to give blood. It's the perfect gift.
you can enjoy an evening of inspiration, personal growth, intellectual stimulation, and powerful energy for transformation at the Circle of Light. Connect with other adventurous souls seeking the expanded view outside the box. Join us at the Circle of Light on the third Friday of each month at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajita Road, Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $11, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more information.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio
on Radio Monterey.
And tonight we have with us Kuan Yin, who is coming through Charlotte Tinker. And thank you so much, Kuan Yin, for joining us.
We are happy to be here. This is our first time, and we like to be in this presence and like to say hello to whoever is listening in the ears phones, yes?
And then after this, it'll go out through the podcast and go out all over the world.
Oh, on the intranet, yes.
Yes.
We think this is very interesting.
And so we were talking on the break that when Kuan Yin comes in and talks to all of us, that the message is coming in at multiple levels. So I wanted her to share that so everyone knows what treat they're in for here.
Yes. So we like to tell our peoples that the message that they get actually is in the energy from one field to the other field. And that we like to teach the lessons or answer the questions, talk to you to keep your mind out of the way. Because what happened is when your mind, your persona self, we can say, recognizes that it hearing something or you experiencing something, it believes it will be replaced by, so it no longer is in control, it will sublimate that experience before you even have recognized that you have had it. So one of the ways that we can provide for you this recognition, this experience of being loved, is to keep your mind out of the way so it is thinking about what we're talking about, and that we can give you the love directly, yes? And you receive directly.
And I imagine everyone is feeling that same wave of love that I'm feeling now. And has a big smile on their face.
Yes, it's magic. It goes everywhere, no matter what you think it is limited to, because it is unlimited. And each of you has the seed of the same love within them, or you would not recognize it or experience it. So it just gets to be water a little bit. And now it begins to grow on its own.
And before the break, when we were talking about this exercise people have been doing for the last 28 days,
yes,
we were talking about how for a lot of us, people end up getting in their own way.
Yes.
And if you have any tips for us on how to dismantle some of those stumbling blocks.
Yes. Well, you do self-forgiveness. And it clears all of that away. It opens a clear channel for you to be in your own self. It clears away the fear and the judgment, all of that. So any of the practices that you have currently that help you to become less judgmental, those work very, very well. You can say mantras about who you are. There is I am a spirit, or I am perfect love. Any of these things that will remind you that you are not the persona, but that you are the soul self, and it brings you into your soul self. Each time you do a meditation work, the whole idea of to do that work is to set aside the persona self off to one side so that you can meet and rest in your own soul self, in your own wholeness. And each time you do that, you carry that experience with you more and more easily in your daily life. And so it is more and more that you are not in your way. And then you can always just simply say, oh, we teach our little one here. We teach her very early to say, oh, thank you very much for that information. Dear critical mind, go standing in corner, I talk to Kuan Yin. Because it is the critical mind which puts up the barriers, yes? Barriers?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, barriers to being always in your own way. And there is a trust that happens. And unless you do your spiritual practices, you don't strengthen or learn to trust your own soul self. And it is really all about that, because that is what you are.
And so if you were doing the exercise that you said, if you did a mantra of saying that you are divine love, and maybe
yes.
in the beginning, your mind, the critical mind, doesn't yes. believe that.
Oh, yes.
But over time, there's some part of your soul that would say, okay, well, that's the truth.
Yes. When you say to yourself the truth about yourself, then it does not matter, because you recognize in the backing of your head the critical mind saying, oh, well, that's not true, that's not true. And you say to it, ah, thank you very much. You go standing in corner. I'm going to talk to my soul self.
And then over time,
yes.
it starts going, aha, maybe that is a little bit true, and changes its program.
It does not necessarily change its program. Sometimes you have to reprogram it on purpose, and sometimes you have to simply go around it. Yes? So it needs a different job. Very yeah. often it become the ruler in your life, because it is the only way from when you are a little child for you to feel like you are safe. And so you can have conversation with it and say to it, you know, I have these better tools than I had when I was 5 years old. And now you and I together will be able to take better care of who we are, instead of to separate everything out and abandon ourselves. Yes?
Thank you.
Yes. You're most welcome.
Well, thank you very much for being with us.
We are very happy to have been here. So we give to you our blessings, that all of your most beautiful dreams are coming true, both in your waking and in your sleeping. Good afternoon.
Oh, thank you. Blessings to you. Thank you for sharing that with us. Well, that was a wonderful experience. For those of you who are just listening, it was quite an experience to actually feel the energy coming through. And Reverend Tinker is almost back in her body. That was quite an energetic experience. So we want to remind you to go to KuanYinSpeaks.com. Now, it has been moved to a new hosting. The site's not fully up. So if you go there and it looks like, hey, there's no site here, it's coming up. It's coming up. Believe, have trust, have faith. Move forward boldly with your new vision.
Be persistent.
There you go. So we want to thank Reverend Tinker for joining us once again, for sharing both the 28-day mantra as well as sharing the experience by bringing through Kuan Yin. This was quite a joy.
You're most welcome. I've been very, very pleased to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's our blessings. And we will be back after the top of the hour with Howard Strauss with more Good Vibrations Radio. Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Caroline, and welcome back to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation on Radio Monterey.
Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds November 1st and 2nd. It's Halloween weekend. It's Samhain. We're doing a special mystery show Saturday evening, produced by Solazar. And Magic for Life is also the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you the best in empowerment programming as well as progressive talk. And our guest for this hour is Howard Strauss. Now, Howard is a graduate of MIT, and he had a successful 40-year computer career before taking up the banner of his grandfather and mother, Dr. Max Gerson and Charlotte Gerson, to champion the Gerson therapy. He's with us generally the first Saturday of every month when we don't bump him or he's not unavailable. And he talks to us about the fraud of Food Inc., Big Pharma, AMA, USDA, FDA, all those A's. And Howard challenges you to what you believe as he challenges you to take ownership of your own health and your own life. Howard, once again, welcome back to Good Vibrations Radio.
Always a pleasure to be here, Solazar, Kira. Great to see you guys again. And I'm really excited about your having taken over the station and having your own facility here. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I think at this point it could be a hostile takeover. We want to remind folks too that they can hear Howard every Monday on the Power of Natural Healing, hosted by Howard. And that's on Voice America. Is that 11 a.m. Pacific time?
11 a.m. Pacific time, and they repeat it at 11 p.m.
All right. So that is it. Go ahead, Kira.
Well, I was excited to have you come tonight because you have some new information for us. You have been talking to us about the risks around immunizations, mm-hmm. almost from the first show that you came to speak to us. So that's been years now. You were ahead of your time. It's come out a little bit more in traditional news media, but still pretty quiet. And there's some late-breaking activities that have shown up.
So. Well, I don't know where you might have heard it on the conventional, on the mainstream media, because the pharmaceutical companies, the vaccine manufacturers, have so much advertising revenue tied up in these stations that the marketing and advertising department of the radio station will put the kibosh on any such story. And that, by the way, goes all the way to NPR. I heard a huge, when the information started to become available on the internet that vaccines were dangerous, they were linked to autism, and that the mercury that the CDC swore up and down, or the FDA swore up and down, had been removed from the vaccines, was still being included in some of the vaccines that were not only being given, but that were mandatory for large segments of the population. The vaccine companies started a real big push to counteract this information. And so you had an hour long program on NPR where a vaccine manufacturer representative, or shill, got on saying, "Oh no, all that that controversy has all been put to bed," but without quoting any sources for that, any studies, anything, any scientific information. Just, "Oh yeah, that's been put together, is all safe." So then John Stewart did even, and this just really tore my heart out because I really trust John Stewart usually. John Stewart did
on The Daily Show, John Stewart?
A sarcastic piece with Samantha Bee about vaccine deniers and how they're endangering the whole population. And then even John Oliver on Last Week Tonight.
Yeah.
Had a similar segment.
Oh,
and
dear.
I was just so you can tell that these people are putting on a major push to mask out, to drown out any negative information about vaccines. And yet here it is, smoking gun right in front of you. That happened, this information hit the internet about last week or two. And that's why I wanted to talk about it tonight.
And I just want to say one thing. I won't speak to John Oliver, but I will to John Stewart. I actually think it's very difficult. It's almost like climate change, when the preponderance of the evidence is really over here, as it is with climate change, it's really hard, even from their position, to kind of counteract it. So I agree with you that it was a push, it was a presentation, it was an idea. But I think they'll change their tune now that the information is evident and available, that it's been a misinformation campaign for 20 years.
And disinformation, absolutely. And it's been in the interest, basically, of the pharmaceutical vaccine manufacturers, and it's total fraud, total lies. The studies that have actually been published in conventional medical journals, several of them have been withdrawn because the journals have said, no, this is not right. It doesn't work. The studies that the CDC consistently pushes and publishes and pushes the publication of and pays for it and so forth, those studies are made of whole cloth. They're just complete frauds. And this information, now it's coming out. And the fact that the CDC has been pulling the wool over people's eyes in the interest of the pharmaceutical companies and to the detriment of children under a year old, is especially children of color, it's horrible. It's atrocious. It's a crime against humanity. And they're guilty of felony fraud is what they're guilty of. And so when a congressman got hold of this information and said, wait a minute, I want to see this information. I'm a congressman. I ought to be able to get the information put right on my desk. He called up the CDC. He said, I want that information on my desk tomorrow morning. And they stonewalled him. They would not produce the information. And so this whistleblower, this William Thompson, Ph.D., a CDC epidemiologist, provided the information, and he was deeply ashamed of the fact that he had gone along with this program of fraud and deception for the past 10 years, and he just couldn't stand it anymore, and he turned around and he essentially pulled an Edward Snowden on the CDC and provided the information. So now the congressman got the CDC in front of a judge. He knew that the CDC was going to cover up the same people who produced these studies and the same people who produced the fraudulent data were going to cover up the information and lie about that, as just as they had lied about the information. And so he provided the information that he got from the whistleblower to the judge, saying, here's the studies we asked for. Now, let's see what happens when we get them to come in and swear in front of you that that doesn't exist. So essentially, a congressman, congressional staff, set up the senior staff at the CDC to do felony fraud right in front of a judge. So it was a sting operation run by a congressman on the CDC. When you have that kind of thing going on, you know there's trouble.
Well, and actually, they point out three points here, which you may, that vaccines always come with risks. The CDC has a moral obligation to explain those risks to the public, and the CDC has failed to communicate those risks to the public.
And that they really serve more as a PR agency to try to promote vaccines than to really fulfill the safety obligation.
Well, I was really talking kind of like the three responsibilities related to that versus the CDC itself.
Yeah, but, you know, more than just providing that information to the public, they should protect the public against this vaccines and against all kinds of health threats. That's the problem.
Absolutely.
And
they're
not doing.
And so this study that linked autism with the immunizations, was that specifically for the ones that were mumps and measles and rubella?
Or was it with other types of immunizations also, any of the ones that had mercury in them?
Any of the ones that had mercury in them, yes.
Which they have also repeatedly, as you said, I want to repeat this, come back to it, they have denied the existence of mercury in the vaccines.
And they have also denied the connection of mercury with autism. Hmm. And they have produced and paid for and required the, requested the preparation of studies and papers and the publication of studies and papers showing that there was not only a no correlation between autism and mercury thimerosal, but that there was actually a slight negative correlation. In other words, the mercury protected you against autism. So, I mean, this is it's just fraud. It's lies. And they made the data out of whole cloth. And this has been proven again and again and again.
And I've got to tell you, even for the problem is we don't have a reasoned populace. We've got to keep that in mind. It's not that everybody in the United States is not reasoned. But for the most part, the greater portion of our population is underinformed and undereducated. And undertaught how to utilize their own reason and analyze. All I really want to get to on that point that I had to do that whole build-up is that if mercury was a toxic chemical when I was a kid, that if you broke a thermometer, you couldn't touch the mercury, why should it be a good thing in any relevant size in a vaccine put into my body?
Well, and on top of that, there are maximum limits for how much mercury an infant can be exposed to, or even an adult, okay? And nowadays, infants 6 weeks old are not only being given 100 times overdose compared to the maximum limits of the EPA, but what's even worse is thimerosal, is organic mercury, which is 100 times more powerful than the mineral mercury that you know is the most powerful toxic, most powerful non-radioactive neurotoxin metal that there is. So they're literally throwing children under the bus when they do this, And why is for the vaccine manufacturers' profits. Is why.
And keep in mind, just here in California, where there was that big push to force vaccines on children, even when parents didn't. And for those parents listening, those parents understanding, and even if you hope to be a parent someday, that should be enough for you to get your pitchforks and head to the town square and, you know, and ask to burn those people in effigy, because what we're really saying is you have to take action. You cannot sit at home, be quiet, be passive, and say somebody else will do that for me, and it is not enough to just vote. Voting is good, but you've got to let people know that this is something you want corrected. You've got to write, you've got to speak out, you've got to be vocal, and you've got to tell the deniers that they're not informed.
You've got to tell the people who say no, there's nothing wrong with it, that they're being lied to, and the fact that every single time you hear somebody talk about the benefits of vaccines, you hear about herd immunity, right? Mm-hmm. So that everybody has to be vaccinated so that the disease doesn't even get started, and so that the children are protected against it. Well, there's two things wrong with that. Number one, children who get vaccinated against flu, for instance, are five times as likely to get the flu.
Yeah.
And they don't mention that part. And secondly, they're three times as likely to be hospitalized with the flu. And thirdly, excuse me, if you get your child vaccinated against the flu, why should you be afraid of a child who has not been vaccinated? Because that the child who's been vaccinated is supposed to be protected.
Exactly.
Yeah, and In the article you gave us, it also talks about the link between the different immunizations and it destroying intestinal flora, which also would lower the children's immune systems over time, so they would be more open to getting these things.
Exactly. And that's why they're finding that the children who get the vaccine, when this was discovered in Australia, that five times as many children who got the vaccine were getting the disease as who did not get the vaccine, they discontinued the vaccine immediately. What do you think they did here? They made it mandatory.
Or they just export it to another country. I mean, it just is unconscionable.
It's mass murder. And this is the people who pretend to be now. By the way, the CDC, if you recall, in the most recent news over the last couple of weeks, the CDC is the people who brought over three cases of Ebola from Africa to the United States, where we didn't have any Ebola, right? To the United States for treatment. Now, what could go wrong there? Especially with these people who we know are lying to us, and they're producing fraud, and they're lying to Congress, and they're stonewalling Congress, and they're telling us, "Oh, don't worry, we've got it covered." Pretty soon we'll have Ebola. By the way, I just had the program that I'm going to be airing on my show on Monday is with Dr. Andrew Saul. And Andrew Saul is a brilliant PhD, and he's just wonderful. I talked to him about this, about vitamin C and Ebola. And they've had some great success in treating and preventing Ebola with vitamin C.
Just high doses of vitamin C?
High doses of vitamin C. Why? Ebola is a hemorrhagic disease, right? Hemorrhage, right? Your capillaries just give up. Just like scurvy. Scurvy is a hemorrhagic disease. True, not anywhere near as serious, but it's a hemorrhagic disease. What was vitamin C in answer to? It was an answer to scurvy, right? Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it's vitamin C is an anti-scorbotic. That was what the kind of drug it was to begin with. Anti-scorbotic. Well, it got shortened to ascorbic acid, right? Mm-hmm. Anti-scorbutic acid became ascorbic acid, which is vitamin C. So vitamin C has very powerful effects against scurvy and scurvy-like diseases like Ebola. But of course, there's no money in that for the pharmaceutical companies. So the CDC isn't saying anything about that either. I mean, it's unconscionable. A while ago, you asked me, what do we do about Fukushima, about the radiation that's coming over from Fukushima? That, by the way, nobody else is mentioning either, right? And we're getting the brunt of it because we're right over the ocean, right? Turns out that they tried to, the Japanese, for lack of anything better to do, gave the workers who were being sent in to clean up Fukushima, gave them massive doses of vitamin C to see if it would protect them. And it did. Okay, so the workers who had already been exposed and who were getting sick, radiation sickness from Fukushima, from having been exposed to radiation, said, well, can you give us some? And he said, well, I don't know if it works after the fact. They said, well, try it. It's not going to hurt us.
Well, so when we talk about high doses, what are we talking about?
Well, at least 1,000, 5,000 to 10,000 milligrams or 5 to 10 grams per day.
And you can't really OD on vitamin C.
You cannot.
Flush out of your system.
It just flushes out of your system. It gives you loose bowels if you don't need it, and out it goes. So they gave it to the workers who had already been exposed to the radiation, and it turned out it reversed the effects of the radiation on those workers as well.
Now, so that's fascinating.
It's fascinating. You're never going to hear about that in our newspapers.
Does the vitamin C support the thyroid then?
It supports the capillary system. Uh-huh. It supports everything, yes.
Interesting.
Absolutely,
wow.
Yes. And Dr. Saul has just put out a new book. It's about an inch and a half to 2 inches thick. It weighs 4 pounds, 8.5 by 11, and it only costs $30. And it's a collection of 30 or 40 years of orthomolecular medicine. Orthomolecular being proper the treatment of the body with proper molecules. Journal articles, and there's quite a few articles about the treatment of HIV/AIDS, the source of HIV/AIDS as a deficiency disease rather than as a germ vector disease, of radiation, and cancer and many other diseases, as well as these very great articles by doctors, by PhDs, and so forth. Many of whom are famous names. Dr. St. Georgi, who discovered vitamin C. Dr. Gerson, Dr. Hugh Reardon. Many of these people who have done deep research and have been ejected, basically, rejected by the medical profession, by the medical establishment, in favor of drugs. You know, and profits.
I just got to point out that I had posted that link about what we were talking about and the link to listen in on the Facebook page for Radio Monterey, and it did disappear.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I just reposted it, but it did disappear. I want to point that out because it did disappear. It was there.
This is not not unexpected, and it's not unusual. I have at one point I was interviewing Dr. Saul live on Skype. And Skype obviously goes over the internet, right? I was interviewing him live on the radio on Skype, and our connection was broken 10 times in a row. Finally, I had to call him on his landline, and even that was interrupted. So I had to call him. We both had to call into the radio station. I couldn't call him directly. Because we were being hacked badly. So the bad guys will do their utmost to keep this information.
Since I said that, it's back. Believe it or not, I'm serious. I was just looking at it, and it wasn't there. And now it's there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it sounds like having in our arsenal good doses of vitamin C every day would be really beneficial.
Absolutely.
And we had talked about before with Fukushima and the radiation, the benefits of iodine. Would you see doing both?
Well, why not?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Iodine is something that iodine is something that we lack a lot of in our current intake anyway, because of the depleted food. And so I take daily doses of iodine and have for many years, even way before Fukushima, just to bolster my thyroid. We're exposed to so much fluoride and chlorine that depletes the thyroid of iodine that we want to replenish that and restore it. And plus which, when we don't have enough iodine in the thyroid, then we will pick up whatever iodine we can. And in this case, radioactive iodine from Fukushima is what we pick up. So we want to fill our thyroid up with as much iodine as it needs. No more, because iodine is also toxic in too large a dose. It should be a trace mineral. So you take small doses of iodine as a preventive for your thyroid taking up radioactive iodine from the environment. But certainly you want to do everything in your power. You want to use every single thing in your power to prevent the damage that is being done intentionally and unintentionally, mostly intentionally, by the way, to us by through our environment by the powers that be, the people who want to damage us. And obviously from these articles, obviously the CDC is one of those organizations. And I have said before on multiple occasions that the FDA is also one of those organizations, to the point where if you want to use the FDA as a guide to perfect health, you may do so. You can do so. You're looking very, very skeptical, Kirilani. But the way that you use the FDA as a guide to perfect health is listen very carefully to what they advise, what they recommend, what they forbid, what they think is harmful, and do exactly the opposite, okay, from what they recommend.
And given that this is a very recent, late-breaking activity that's going on with the CDC and with this congressman, would it be beneficial for people who want to make a difference in this area to write to their congressman and ask them to support whoever this person is? Which congressman is it, actually, that's been demanding this?
It's also in the article. I don't have his name. But not only would it be beneficial, but I know that a group of mothers who are just furious about the possibility that their kids were intentionally given autism by the CDC, or at least that's the proximate cause. They're furious at it, and they're putting a lawsuit against the CDC. They're doing a lawsuit against the CDC, suing them for damaging their children.
And the congressman that originally brought this up was Florida's Congressman Bill Posey.
Bill Posey, yes.
He's a Republican, by the way.
Well, Republicans don't like to get congressmen don't like to get stonewalled either.
No, but I'm really pointing that out is that, you know, our champions can come in all shapes and sizes, and sometimes those on the progressive side seem to dismiss or diminish, you know, the fact of anyone can be a champion. It does not matter what their political leanings or their shape, size, or otherwise are. So I think it's important. That's why I wanted to recognize it not as a negative.
Well, remember that Republicans and Democrats alike have children. And these children are all getting autism.
And I've got to admit, in the past, that's really bothered me that the Republicans have had children as well. But I can go with it on this issue.
But you know what? you know what? And this is the good part. This is the good part. The Republicans have managed somehow to lose track of the fact that old white men, if they limit their party to old white men, okay, they can't have babies because they've alienated the women, certainly, and they've alienated everyone but whites, and certainly young people, students, and young people coming up, young professionals. They've alienated them, intellectuals, professors, people who are working families. They've alienated them. So all that when you look at a Republican convention, what you see is a whole bunch of old white men. and they won't have kids. So the Republican Party is dooming itself to a demographic death.
But I think it's important. I'm hoping that the regular media will pick up on this issue and support it. As a matter of fact, in one sense, going back to the Jon Stewart thing, that Jon Stewart and Samantha Bee skit that they did, they also mocked and made fun of Jenny McCarthy, who for years has been carrying a flag and saying these vaccines cause autism.
Well, because she has an autistic child.
Right, and I think in one sense, I hope they'll come aboard and apologize to her because
that's just atrocious. I mean, I was so disappointed to hear that. Especially after a couple of years ago when a poll was done just showing how bad the reputation of the mainstream media is when they asked who was the most trusted news source in the United States. Was it Fox? Was it ABC, CBS, NBC? Was it MSNBC? Was it the New York Times? Who was the most trusted news source? And it turned out it was Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And Jon Stewart is on the Comedy Channel.
Yeah. So, but I agree. I saw the skit with him and Samantha Bee. I heard the John Oliver thing. But just to let you know, even on Ring of Fire, not long ago, probably 5 months or so ago, I heard Mike Papantonio, not on this vaccine thing, but he had on a shill that was also touting why food supplements were bad for you and they were causing deaths because they were being self-prescribed and they needed to be under the control of a doctor just as other pharmaceuticals were. So, and I railed against that. I joined his forum just to rail against that. So once again, what we're saying is well-meaning people who carry the flag and carry the water for many things have been misled on many of these issues. And again, I believe it goes to the preponderance of the information being provided to them sells the lie. And when the preponderance sells the lie, it's just like the people who listen to nothing but Fox News.
That's right.
They get sold the lie from sun to sun, morning through night. They get sold the lie, and therefore the lie must be true.
That's an old Hitler technique. You know, if you say something long enough and loud enough, it becomes the truth, mm-hmm. The big lie, right? But the problem is that the bad guys, the people who make trillions of dollars by selling this stuff and by sacrificing population, sacrificing children by the millions, they have budgets for buying advertising agencies and for buying advertising time and for buying full color ads in newspapers and magazines and everywhere else that you cannot they literally drown out the opposition.
And I'm going to go back to something which is a political statement and is not the nature of what you're sharing. The American people have got to wise up that 90%, at least in Salazar's opinion, 90% of what is wrong today is an outcome of 8 years of the Reagan administration. What they undid, what they did, we are still suffering for. The introduction of pharmaceutical advertising on TV and everywhere else, as if you and I are informed enough to know which drug is better for us to take, so we could go say to our doctor, I need this. Okay, that's an idiocy. That's a stupidity. It's just like the fairness doctrine in broadcasting, which has led to the BS that is Faux or Fox News that calls itself, you know, fair and balanced. They can lie that they are fair and balanced and get away with it because there's no restriction, there's no legislation, and there is no policy that prevents them from doing that. Before, we had management of the airwaves. And we also had restrictions that prevented you and I from being the unnatural dupes that we can be when we are uninformed and therefore given a flood of information that are lies. Keep that in mind. This is not the time to sit back and take it and say you can do nothing about it. If you're willing to do nothing about it, you're part of the problem. Get out of the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a war, and it's against us. There's no question. It is against us. It's the elites versus us. And it's like the Koch brothers. If they can drown out everybody else with a flood of billions of dollars, which is pocket change to them, but which is beyond the reach of any of their opponents, then they will essentially rule the entire United States.
And I encourage everyone listening to this broadcast now or forever for perpetuity, pay attention to the fact that the Koch brothers are an outcome of a movement that founded the John Birch Society. It is a vile, vicious, bigoted movement that has managed to mainstream itself. And they continue to mainstream those initiatives to the point of where people are saying, well, that's not a bad idea. So I'm going to tell you bad ideas. Libertarian Party is a bad idea. John Birch Society is a bad idea. Tea Party is a bad idea. Koch brothers are a bad idea with money. And if you read the book Wrapped in the Flag, you will understand the insidious and pervasive nature that they have fomented on the American public since before the 50s. Yes, before the 50s. When in 1959, the American population would have said, they are crazy. Today, we seem to accept, well, you know, it's free speech. Yes, it's free speech. They can say what they want. Get them out of government. Get them out of the state houses. Get them out of the federal government. Stop accepting this nonsense as if it has a relatively sane meaning. Going back to something Howard said, when he said, this is like the old Hitler. Remember, Hitler convinced the German population that he had their interests at heart, when he had no heart to have any interests except the pursuit of power and domination. Don't accept what these people are seeking as something that belongs on the American stage, because it belongs in the pillories of Pilgrim when they were putting witches to death. That's what this is. It is the same type of intended consequence. Kill the poor, kill the sick, kill the weak, get them out of the way, and everyone else have them get in line so we can live our lives, but they can't.
And that's exactly right. They're volunteering us to get off the face of the planet. And they, because they have lots and lots of money, they can do it and not suffer the consequences.
And so I am not asking you to focus on the problem. I am asking you to take action and be part of the solution. I am asking you to say, just like what they said in Network, you know, I can't take any more. I'm tired of it and I can't take any more. Hang out your windows. Go to your public officials. Take action locally, because locally you can change globally. By taking action locally, be aware, be smart, take charge of your life, bring your divinity and your divine light out, and live that divine light and share the message every place you can.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Solar Czar. Fantastic.
Well, thank you. But I have to admit, I realize that there's such a perception that if we create intentions, if we pray, if we meditate, things will be better. And at the end of the day, the people taking the action are the ones forcing the changes. So we have to not only meditate, create intentions, and pray, we have to take the action. It's not enough to just do the other three.
I very much agree. With the caveat, of course, and so that people are well informed. With a caveat that when people do that, when they go up against the powers that be on a big scale, then they are putting themselves at risk. And, you know, that's where I live. I'm not afraid. If they come and get me, they come and get me. They came and got my family in Europe. Same people, by the way. The Rockefellers were the inspiration, and they informed Hitler's genocidal ideas. They were the ones that did the research. They were the ones that gave him those ideas.
So I want to remind folks too that in Kira's, when we did the vibrational energy for the month, and we do that call every month. Generally, the last Wednesday of the month, though, as I said in an email to our population, I apologize because we've had to shift the one for September. We did earlier this week, and we had to make it a shift like that for August. But today was invite your soul to express itself fully through your physical body. And that really is what we're talking about. Don't just live in your spirit. Bring your spirit into the physical world and live in the present moment in the physical world. Don't be of the world, but be for the world. Bring it forward. Take the action. Bring your divinity, your love, your truth, and everything out. And let's stop being afraid when somebody tells us nonsense that is just not true. Let's make sure we challenge that. Recently, on a show on this network, I heard someone who was supposedly a Democratic strategist going on and on repeating lies about the president that are fomented by Fox News, and he went unchallenged on the show that he was saying them on, and I called in to challenge it. I said he is the problem with the Democratic Party because he was talking about the person and not the policies. If the Democrats want to see themselves as apart from Republicans, then they need to go after policies, not the person. When we go after the person, we're going outside of our ego, as we were talking with Reverend Tinker. We're not going from our heart. When we're going after the policies, we're saying we're going after trying to make something better than what it is. So make the choice right now. Stop going after the people, but go after the policies. Go after what you see can be corrected, shifted, or adjusted in this life. But start first by taking charge of your life. Take charge of your health. Take charge of your nutrition. Take charge of your life and be ready to challenge those situations where somebody is sharing something that is less than true. And don't take our word for it. Go find it out yourself. Explore it. Read it. Get more engaged. If you find out something that we say is not true, tell us. Tell us so we can share the truth just as you share the truth. You looked as if you were going to say something, Kira, because you pulled the mic close.
Well, I was, but interestingly enough, you kind of said what I was going to say. So
I must have channeled it from you.
There you go. You know, this is a year that's about truth. And a lot of times we swallow the truth. We stifle the truth. We don't say anything. We don't speak up. And this is the time where we have to speak up, because not speaking up is voting for allowing these things to continue. And many of them are simply unacceptable. So I don't understand all of the intentions behind why the CDC would be doing what they are, what the Rockefellers would be doing, why it's hard for me to get my brain around how people could think that way. And at the same time, it is not acceptable. It is not acceptable that we are giving our population food that is essentially poison. It is not acceptable that we're giving them immunizations and medicines that are essentially poison.
And
it
useless.
Is not acceptable.
And useless. The immunizations don't immunize us against anything.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's been shown.
Well, I don't know. I haven't had dengue fever in this whole lifetime.
Yes, that's true. But you know what? When you and I were born, autism was a 1 in 40 or 50,000 problem. Today, what is it?
I think it's 1 in 10, isn't it? Or
it's 1 in 40 or 50.
Oh, okay.
And it depends on, you know, the demographic. So as some of the articles said, there are certain populations that are more susceptible to it for a lot of reasons. And it is becoming really at epidemic proportions.
That's right. And you know who doesn't get it? The Mennonites don't get it.
Yeah.
Because they don't get immunized.
They don't get immunizations.
And there are
And they probably eat organic food.
Yes, that's correct.
They grow
that's
their own
correct.
Food. Yeah.
And the black populations, underserved black populations in like Chicago, don't get it because they can't afford prenatal and perinatal care where the kids get all these vaccines. So they can't afford it. They can't afford to get all these vaccines. So they don't get autism. This doctor who works with those populations in Chicago said unequivocally that he had never seen an unimmunized child with autism.
Interesting.
Never. Right? Now, that's but from 1 in 50 on the one hand to never on the other hand, it's a little, it's not random. This is not random.
Yeah, that's too big a spread. So this is all really that we're, the information is important for all of us to really be conscious and be aware. You know, the interesting thing about the book 1984 was not the disinformation or misinformation campaigns that went on. It was the awareness the protagonist had about what was going on. It was as he became aware, he was able to challenge and confront it. Now, the system was rigged against him. Our system is not fully rigged against us, but it's not rigged for us. So don't be afraid to speak out and make yourself known. I think part of the fear is that most of us really don't want to be known in life. We'd rather have lived our lives of quiet desperation. Who was it that said that? Was that Thoreau? But we may have preferred to do that. We just wanted to go our own way, our house, our car, food on the table, watch a little TV, go to sleep, wake up in the morning. That's about it. But we can't live those lives if we want our lives to continue for others. You know, I shared this before, but I have to share it now. When I was retiring from the Marine Corps, I was right here in Monterey. I went up to the clinic at the Defense Language Institute for my outgoing retirement physical. I had 2 weeks to go in the Marine Corps. 2 weeks to go. They're doing my physical. And they told me that I wasn't up to date on my malaria and yellow fever shots. And I actually asked them, I said, are we expecting an outbreak? Is there something I need to know
that I
can't leave today and getting out in 2 weeks if I don't have my malaria?
And are they
fever?
Planning to send me somewhere I wasn't aware of?
Like, so they gave me my shots. I mean, I got my shots. I had to get my shots. But I think that is also, on a small scale, an example of what we're confronting in this whole issue of vaccinations and medication.
Mandatory vaccinations. And so anybody who is under the government's control is getting these vaccines, and they're mandatory. If you're a public health worker, for instance, or a first responder, or a policeman, or a soldier, or whatever.
If you work in a hospital.
Or if you work, exactly. If you work in a hospital, a doctor, a nurse, anybody, you must get these vaccines, or you lose your job. Or you're court-martialed. Okay? And so that essentially says mandatory to me, and yet they don't test these vaccines. They don't test them for safety. They know, as you see from these examples from the CDC, you know that they are harmful, and they know that they are harmful, and they're forcing them upon us.
Well, and that was just in the first Gulf War, the 90s, the beginning of the 90s. A friend of mine who was part of the forces deployed to the Middle East. They gave a whole series of experimental vaccinations to the service members sent over there. When he returned, he was having blackout episodes.
Yep.
And he was supposed to continue to take this medication. And finally, after one particular episode, he just stopped taking it. You know, and everything cleared up. Nothing, I mean, you know, the sense of, have you ever had any kind of medication where you had that sense of non-reality going on? So he had that sense of non-reality. He had rapid palpitations and heartbeats. He had difficulty remembering things, you know, all types of things like that. All cleared up once he stopped taking. Now, the interesting thing is it goes back to what Howard said. He didn't have an option. He's not given an option.
Right.
You know, you're not, when you're in the service, you're not given an option. You're told this is what you get. And that's an interesting thing because they are continuing to be guinea pigs for various tests and various results. But the rest of us don't have to accept that. We're not in a condition where we have some kind of a contract agreement where we feel we have to live up to the agreement by letting somebody turn us into a guinea pig. So my question to everyone listening and everyone who will hear this for perpetuity, how do you like your wheels? Moving on the ground or attached stationary so you can run nowhere fast? You know, that's the issue. If you want to run nowhere fast, stay quiet, stay disengaged, let it all happen to you. If you like going somewhere when you're with a wheel, if you like forward momentum, if you like being able to have choice, then you need to take action by speaking out, being informed, and not allowing others to treat you as a guinea pig.
No, because that's what they're doing. They're removing your choice systematically, steadily, and intentionally, removing all choices that you have, so that pretty soon you're just a slave.
Now, I don't know about you, but I gave up that past life of slavery.
Yep, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
So I've been living under the presumption and the bubble that I was living a life of choice. But maybe it's just the difference between the red pill and the blue pill. So maybe we are all copper tops sitting in a bubble somewhere just plugged in so the machines can rule. But I don't actually believe that. I say that with cynicism and sarcasm. And we do not have to be the slaves to other people's desires for power and control.
That's absolutely correct.
So, Howard, we want to thank you once again for joining us. Remind folks to go to GarrisonMedia.com. You can connect over by using the GoodVibrationsRadio.com guest page, and it'll take you right over there. Howard will be on again Monday on The Power of Natural Healing on Voice America. You can connect over to that from GarrisonMedia.com. That's 11 a.m. Pacific time on Monday, and again, 11 p.m. at night. So you get to hear it once, if not twice, but always listen to what Howard has to share with us. Howard and I don't always agree, but we always agree on one thing. Choice is what we're here for, and when somebody's taking it away, we have got to stand up and give them the truth so that we can have our choice.
Hear, hear.
Yes, we always agree. Kira, any final thoughts?
Well, just want to send blessings out to all the listeners that this is a magical month, and it is all about taking our power. So claim that truth, claim your birthright. Health is part of that birthright. So I'd very much encourage people to go look at the work that Howard and his forefathers have done, because it's part of claiming who we are and living life instead of letting it live you. Love you. Bye.
We'll be back next week with more Good Vibrations Radio right here on Radio Monterey. Many blessings. Thank you for listening. Namaste.